All right, welcome back everyone to The Deep Dive. You know, we often get questions from our listeners about, well, what happens to child support if a parent's income changes after divorce, especially if they were working a lot of overtime before?
It's a great question, and it comes up all the time, and sometimes it leads to, well, some really interesting legal battles.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. We're taking a close look at the case Walden v. Walden, which went through the Louisiana court system. It all revolves around this question. Can you just stop working overtime to lower your child support payments?
Yeah, it gets really tricky because family law is all about trying to keep things fair for everyone involved, especially the kids. But life throws curveballs. People's jobs change. Their income fluctuates. So how do you balance all of that?
Well, that's exactly what Walden v. Walden explores, and it offers some important lessons, especially for you law students out there who might be dealing with these kinds of issues in your future careers. So to set the stage, let's get into the specifics of this case.
Sounds good.
It all starts with a guy named Kenneth Walden, who was employed at Columbia Chemical. He was making a decent hourly wage, $20.26 an hour, but he was racking up some serious overtime.
Oh, wow. So his take-home pay was probably pretty good then.
Yeah, we're talking significant overtime. In 1999, his overtime pay alone came out to over $23,500. Add that to his regular pay, and his annual income was pushing $75,000.
That is a big difference. So what was he doing with all this extra money?
Well, that's a key part of the story. He wasn't just blowing it on, you know, extravagant stuff. He was actually putting it towards family goals. Buying a house, purchasing cars, things that benefited the whole family.
So it was directly tied to their lifestyle, their standard of living.
Precisely. But then things took a turn. In January of 2000, his wife filed for divorce.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and pretty much right after that, Walden stopped working all that overtime. His monthly income plummeted from around $6,000 to $4,200.
That's a huge drop.
And naturally, he went to court arguing that his child support payments should be based on this new, lower income. His argument was basically, look, the overtime was for these specific pre-divorce family goals that don't even apply anymore.
Right, so in his mind, it was like, that was then, this is now.
Exactly. But the trial court wasn't buying it. They decided to include his past overtime income in the child support calculations, which didn't sit well with Walden, so he appealed. And that brings us to the case we're dissecting today, Walden v. Walden.
Okay, so what were the main legal issues the court had to grapple with?
Well, the first big hurdle was figuring out how to categorize this overtime income. Was it ordinary income that should be considered part of his normal earnings? Or was it extraordinary income that shouldn't be factored in? This distinction is huge in Louisiana child support law.
Right, because Louisiana law generally says all income has to be included in the calculation unless it's considered extraordinary, right?
Exactly. And the majority of the court in this case decided that no, Walden's overtime was not extraordinary. They pointed to the fact that he had been working this overtime consistently for 2.5 years, week after week. It had become a regular part of his income pattern.
It makes sense. It wasn't like a one-time bonus or something. It was a consistent pattern.
Right, exactly. But there's always another side to the story. There was a dissenting opinion in this case from Judge Linear. He argued that, yeah, maybe before the divorce it was ordinary income, but after the divorce, when the family unit dissolved and those shared goals were gone, it became extraordinary.
Oh, interesting. So he was looking at it from the perspective of the changing family dynamics.
Exactly. He felt it was unfair to keep holding Walden to this higher income level based on overtime that was specifically meant to support the family unit that no longer existed. But the majority ultimately didn't agree.
So what was the key factor that tipped the scales for the majority? It sounds like the regularity of the overtime was crucial.
Yes, that was definitely a big part of it. The test they used focused on whether the income was consistent and integral to the person's overall earnings. And because Walden's overtime was so regular and had been going on for such a long time, they saw it as a standard part of his income.
So this raises a really important point for law students and anyone going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
The specifics really matter.
Absolutely. The details of how the income was earned, how long it lasted, what it was used for, all of those things can make a big difference in how the court classifies it.
So we've got the overtime question settled. What about the fact that Walden actually took a promotion at the same company, one that paid a higher hourly rate but offered less overtime? Did the court think that was a way to legitimately lower his income?
Well, that's where the second big legal issue comes in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Voluntary underemployment. The court looked at Walden's job change and decided, nope, this looks like voluntary underemployment to us. And this is another concept you future lawyers really need to understand.
Yeah, the court doesn't want parents trying to pull a fast one and intentionally lowering their income just to get out of paying child support.
Right. So the court laid out a three-part test to determine if someone is voluntarily underemployed. First, was the change voluntary? Meaning, did they choose to reduce their income or was it out of their control, like a layoff or something?
Makes sense. So what's the second part of the test?
The second part is all about intent. Was the change made in good faith or bad faith? Did they have a legitimate reason for reducing their income, or were they doing it specifically to avoid paying child support?
Ah, so they're trying to get into the person's head and figure out their motives.
Right. And the third part of the test is whether the change actually benefits the children in some way. Does it allow for more parenting time, or does it somehow improve the children's lives?
So it's not just about the parents' financial situation, it's about the impact on the kids.
Exactly. And this is where Walden's case really started to unravel. He admitted that he stopped working the overtime because his family unit had dissolved, not because it would benefit his children in any way.
Oh, that's not good. It makes it seem like he was more concerned with his own finances than his kids' well-being.
Right, and the court picked up on that. They even seemed to imply that his decision was made in bad faith, especially since it happened so soon after the divorce proceedings began.
It's kind of like that quote we saw from the trial court where they said Walden positioned himself to do less work. It just gives this impression that he was deliberately trying to reduce his financial obligations rather than prioritizing his kids.
Yeah, that quote definitely raised some eyebrows. So the big takeaway here for you future lawyers, and really anyone going through a divorce, is this. You can't just decide to lower your income and expect the court to automatically adjust your child support payments accordingly.
Especially if your reasons are more about your own finances than your kids' needs.
Exactly. The court is always going to be looking out for the best interests of the children. Now, there's one more wrinkle to this case that's worth mentioning. It has to do with a procedural error that the trial court made.
Oh, interesting. What happened there?
Well, even though the appellate court agreed with the trial court's decision to include the overtime income in the child support calculation, they found that the trial court hadn't given specific reasons for why they were deviating from the standard child support guidelines.
Oh, so even though they got the outcome right, they didn't explain their reasoning clearly enough.
That's right. And because of this procedural flaw, the appellate court sent the case back down to the trial court, essentially saying, hey, you need to provide more detailed justification for your decision. It highlights the importance of transparency and clear reasoning in these kinds of cases.
It's like a teacher telling a student to show their work, to prove they understand the concepts.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up, I do want to touch on Judge Lanier's dissenting opinion again, because it brings some interesting nuances to the discussion.
Yeah, he definitely had a different perspective on the situation. What were his main points?
Well, he kept coming back to this idea that the purpose of the overtime had changed after the divorce. It was no longer about supporting a shared family unit. It was just about Walden's individual income. So he felt the overtime should have been reclassified as extraordinary.
It makes you think about how complex these situations can be. There's not always a clear-cut answer.
Absolutely. And Judge Lanier also seemed a bit skeptical about Walden's motivations for taking the promotion with less overtime. He wasn't totally convinced that it was purely a self-serving move to dodge child support. He acknowledged that there might have been other factors involved in the decision.
So he was giving Walden a bit more benefit of the doubt than the majority, who seemed more focused on the fact that the overtime had been a key part of the children's established standard of living.
Right. The majority's main concern was ensuring that the children didn't experience a sudden drop in their financial well-being just because their parents got divorced. They saw the consistent overtime as an essential part of the financial foundation of the kids' lives.
It's interesting to see the two sides of the argument. On one hand, you have the need to hold parents accountable for providing for their children. And on the other hand, you have the recognition that life circumstances can change, and sometimes those changes impact income.
Exactly. And that leads us to the crucial question for all of you aspiring lawyers listening. How do we balance those competing interests? How do we ensure fairness for both the children and the parents in these ever-evolving financial situations? Walden v. Walden provides a real-world example of just how tricky that balance can be.
So to sum up the key takeaways from this case, first, consistent overtime is very likely to be considered part of your regular income when child support is being calculated. The courts aren't easily swayed by arguments that it's extraordinary income if it's been a consistent pattern for a significant period of time.
And second, if you reduce your income after a divorce, you better have a rock-solid, child-focused reason for doing so, and you better be able to prove that it's being done in good faith. Otherwise, the court might view it as voluntary underemployment and might not adjust your child support obligations.
And remember that quote about Walden positioning himself to do less work? It's a reminder that the court is looking beyond the surface and trying to figure out the true intentions behind your actions.
Absolutely. This case is full of valuable lessons for future legal professionals. It underscores the importance of thorough documentation, building a strong case for your client, and understanding the nuances of child support law.
And for all of you listening, whether you're in law school or not, this case raises some really important questions about how the legal system deals with the financial realities of divorce and child support. It makes you think about the balance between protecting children's well-being and recognizing that life circumstances can change, sometimes dramatically. Are the current laws flexible enough to account for these changes while still ensuring that parents fulfill their financial obligations? That's something for all of us to ponder.
Food for thought, for sure. And with that, we'll wrap up this deep dive into Walden v. Walden. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.
See you then.